What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, February 15th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. The second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. Woo! It's good to have you back, Greg.
Good to be back.
Hot off the presses of DICE Awards.
Yep.
Looking great up there with Jessica Chobot.
Thank you. Killing the game. Suit looked good.
Haven't seen the whole thing yet. Yeah. Just seen the highlights.
Okay, sure.
But I liked them.
You're not. Yeah, I mean, if you're just seeing my highlights, you're fine. Those are the highlights. Don't listen to Corey Barlog. Don't look at anything Corey Barlog
did. Oh, yeah, yeah.
God, he's a Kratos guy. Don't listen to him. Don't
speeches
worry about
were
it.
Great.
I said me. Focus on me.
You're allowed
to watch Troy Baker when I hug him, and not beyond that, you can't look at him. All right, that's the idea.
That was the plan.
Thank you all so much for watching the DICE Awards, all the lovely comments you've left on social media around the globe for me. It was awesome. Such a great time. Great show. Again, shout out to Chris Sturgeon and Mike Drucker, writers of the DICE Awards. When Jess and I got brought on, they were like, do you know any comedy writers? And I was like, Mike Drucker. Get Mike Drucker in there.
Got the guy.
And I feel like every year we've gotten so much better at it, at obviously knowing each other, knowing timing, feeling out that room.
Yeah,
it was great. I'm sure we'll talk about it on one of our many podcasts that we do here. But what I want to know, Tim Geddes, is how was Valentine's Day?
Valentine's Day was fantastic.
Yeah?
Went a little too hard on the Gia wine. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. Did you go out? Did you stay in? What did you do?
Oh, we stayed in.
Okay.
We stayed in, and we watched Silver Linings Playbook for the first
time. Oh, okay. Wow.
I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah, well, it's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
It's an intense one to watch for Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yeah, Gia. You know what I mean? Yeah. What are you going to do?
Sure. Yeah.
Great movie.
How was your Valentine's Day?
It was great. Flew in from Vegas, didn't get super delayed, just 20 minutes.
Okay.
Gia Corsi, 2 hours. Alana Pierce going to LA, granted, 4 hours. It was bad out there. Too much rain, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we got here, got home, saw Portillo, got changed, went out, had a lovely dinner. We went down to Anchor and Hope.
Okay.
You know, down in Soma there.
Yeah.
Then came home, drank more. We drank a lot of wine there, did a couple old fashions, watched an episode of Deadly Class.
Oh, there you go.
I'm in my King's Dominion shirt, and
nice.
I just look good in the shirt. It was cold here. It's cold in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Today's news includes Carlton's copyright crashing, Apex is killing it, and more. Each and every day on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Bronze tier members get to be part of the show. Submit questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then they can watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live for free, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Printer didn't work today, so I couldn't print my papers. Feel naked out here. You know what I mean? If you don't like listening to the ads on the MP3 and YouTube version, of course, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames has ad-free versions of the show. Housekeeping! Don't forget, this Sunday, the Kinda Funny World Tour is rolling into San Francisco. We're going to Triple Voodoo Brewery at 3 p.m. Then it's going to be Nick's comedy show over at Cobb's Comedy. Come on, hang out. It's free of charge to get into the brewery. Nick will make you pay. And if Nick at the brewery, if Nick's like, hey, give me $5, I'll put you on a list, that's a scam.
The important thing, if you go to Nick's comedy thing, is say that Nick Scarpino sent you. We need the world to know.
Sure.
That we're rolling through deep.
Right, we got it, because this will push up Nick's comedy career. Hopefully get him a special on Netflix. Hopefully get him a sitcom. Hopefully get him the fuck out of here.
Yes.
So he will stop ruining.
Yeah. We gotta do it, man.
Then we're going to Kansas City in March, New York in April. Of course, the full rundown is on kindoffunny.com/events. Thank you today to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, TJ Meehan, Joe Beezer, Trevor Starkey, Mohammed, and Blackjack.
Blackjack.
Today we're brought to you by Hims, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
This is the top story today, yeah?
Two items on the Roper Report.
Wow.
What do you want it to be?
Hey, I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you. It's just been a week, man. There's been some bangers.
A half-assed baker's dozen.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, yeah, you want to talk? I mean, it's been a week.
Yeah.
It's been a week. I woke up today and I was like, man, really could use a Saturday. You know, I'm limping here to the end. Number one, Alfonso Ribeiro fails. I don't want to say his name wrong. Ribeiro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to screw it up.
You got it right,
so
though.
I got it right.
You got the fails wrong.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's because I was so hung up on the first part. You know what I mean? I'm so worried about making the jump out of the plane. I forgot to put on the parachute. Alfonso Ribeiro's has failed to get his copyright on the Carlton dance. This is from Eric Gardner over at the Hollywood Reporter. The U.S. Copyright Office is skeptical about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air actor Alfonso Ribeiro's ownership claim over the signature Carlton dance, which became famous after a 1991 episode of the Will Smith series. Was it one episode, you think? No, I think it was... It was used in so many
episodes. One episode, like, made started it a thing. All. Yeah.
All right. In a correspondence last month that has surfaced on Wednesday in California federal court, Saskia Florence, a supervisory registration specialist in the office's performing arts division, told Ribeiro's attorney that registration must be refused because his claim, quote, his claimed choreographic work was a simple dance routine. Quote, the dancer sways their hips as they step from side to side while swinging their arms in an exaggerated manner, wrote Florence. This is awesome. How do you write what he does? You know what awesome. I mean? In the second dance step, the dancer takes two steps to each side while opening and closing their legs and their arms in unison. In the final step, the dancer's feet are still and they lower one hand from above their head to the middle of their chest while fluttering their fingers. The combination of these three dance steps is a simple routine that is not registrable as a choreographed work. End quote. Take Two Interactive publisher.
I would never know if you didn't tell me this is the Carlton thing and you just read me that description. Yeah. I would be like, I don't know what the fuck.
Nick,
that is.
Here's the thing. You're not the brightest bulb, but kind of funny. Do you know the Carlton dance?
Yeah.
Okay, then it doesn't work because I was going to read you the steps and see if you could recreate them. You know what I mean?
Do it for me, and I'll figure it out because I think I know the Carlton. Come step dance,
in the
but it's
so, get in the center here. I'm gonna walk you through what the Office Performing Arts Division of California Federal Court says it is. All right.
Did someone try to steal the Carlton dance?
Yeah, Fortnite and NBA 2K and all these other things.
That's some bullshit.
That's some bullshit? That's a Nick Scarpino special?
From Carlton.
All right, get up here and tell him. Well, if you can nail it based on this description, you know, maybe it isn't copyrighted. All right, a one and a two and a three. The dancer sways their hips as they step from side to side.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't this the Carlton? Like, what do you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's more to it, though. There's more to it.
The
dancer sways their hips as they step from side to side while swinging their arms in an exaggerated manner. You nailed it. In the second dance step, the dancer takes two steps to each side while opening and closing their legs and their arms in unison.
Oh, I don't know how the hell they do that. That's some advanced
Carlton.
Shit.
That's the advanced Carlton. That's when you've ranked up the Carlton dance.
I understand that.
All right. Well, no, that's fine. We love you. Thank you. Okay, good to see you. Hey, huh? How you doing? Thank you. Didn't shower today, everybody. That's why.
Did you get that cut in Vegas?
I did, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. You like that?
Is that fun when you go to a place and you're like, get a haircut?
Yeah, totally.
That's how you know you're bougie. When you go to a job and get a haircut at the job.
Sure.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Not beforehand like me and Tim at Supercuts.
I'll tell you what. I got the haircut right after riding the escalator with Jeff Keighley and Phil Spencer.
Wow. Yeah.
Let me tell you, when I was saddled up behind them, they were like, oh, hey, Greg. Their conversation in. Their conversation ended abruptly because they did not want me to know what they were talking about. Take Two Interactive, publisher of the game, NBA 2K, is now seizing upon the refusal in support of the argument that movements for the Carlton dance are not protectable. Ribeiro is suing Take Two as well as the publisher of Fortnite over special features that allow game players to have their avatars perform the dance. But there are particular contentions specifically directed at Ribeiro's claim. For instance, the fact that the Carlton dance made its initial appearance on a nationally televised show is no small thing. Ribeiro admits to creating the alleged dance for the Fresh Prince of...
The alleged dance.
Well, this is all in quotes. Ribeiro, quote, admits to creating the alleged dance for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air series, but did not try to register that dance with the Copyright Office, presumably because he knows that he does not own the copyright, states the motion. The copyright notice for the episode in which it first appeared lists solely National Broadcasting Company Incorporated. Thus, plaintiff's copyright claims fail... as his allegation that the dance was created for an episode owned by NBC means that he's not plausibly alleged ownership of a valid copyright. The issue of whether the Carlton dance, even if protectable, is owned by Ribeiro or maybe someone else who also came up with Ribeiro's attempt at a copyright registration. The actor submitted his performance of the dance on ABC's Dancing with the Stars. An examiner at the Copyright Office wrote back, quote, since Mr. Ribeiro performs a choreographic work with his professional dance partner, Whitney Carson, and internet sources indicate that most of the professional dancers on this program create the choreography for their celebrity partner, we question whether the application names the correct author or authors for this work, stated the letter. The examiner then asked, was Alfonso Ribeiro the sole author of the entire dance routine performed on the submitted excerpt of Dancing with the Stars, as stated on the application? Oh my Further, God. Because the footage deposited in a professional production aired on ABC, we question whether Mr. Alfonso and Miss Carson's appearances, as well as any contributions made to the work deposited, were created under a work-made-for-hire agreement. A failure to register doesn't necessarily doom the lawsuit, although the U.S. Supreme Court is currently sorting out prerequisites for copyright litigation.
Wow. What a tale. What the twists and turns. A
lot of twists and turns in there.
I love that he's like, all right, I'm not going to do Fresh Prince. I'm going to do Dancing with the Stars. Right. And then they're like, yeah, but you didn't do all of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, no, Miss Carson here, I'm sure she's like, oh, God, why am I even getting like, dragged into this at all? Now I got to worry about this shit.
I'm sure she's happy. Her name's in someone's mouth.
Sure, of course. Supreme Court's gonna hear about it soon, though.
Yeah,
Tim, what? Why?
What a weird world!
What a weird world! You know what I mean?
This is where we're at now. You know, this whole copywriting dance thing. Very, very fascinating stuff.
Yeah,
I was talking to one John Drake about it.
He's
a very fascinating guy because he used to work at Harmonix, having to deal a lot with the rock bands, with the dance centrals, with stuff. So it's like there's a whole world that he gets that we don't understand.
Sure.
We would never even think about copyrighting a dance. It's not a problem until it's a problem. Now it's a problem.
Yeah.
Fortnite's making money.
Is it no longer going to be a problem? Did they just squash Carlton? You know what I mean? Is that the thing? Is Ribeiro out on the streets? Did he walk out of the courtroom going, you haven't heard the last of me? And yes, I know. He wasn't in court yet. This is just a document.
He danced right out.
He held the document. He's like, you haven't heard the last of me?
Yeah. I don't think it's the end.
Okay.
I think that this is going to continue to evolve where the idea that you can't copyright a dance move, I think, will change. Like, I think that enough people are going to fight this. And be loud enough about it because it's not just him. There's a Millie Rock. There's all the different
Backpack Kid.
There's the Backpack Kid.
Backpack,
right?
Don't let less we forget.
Yeah.
Backpack Kid.
They're not gonna go quietly into the night.
Krajuki writes in to Kind of Funny. It's Patreon. You could have zapped me there if you wanted, Bear. Alfonso Ribeiro is what he wants to talk about. The registration of the Carlton dance was denied by the Copyright Office because it was too simple of a routine. Do you think games like Fortnite, Forza, and 2K are going to use this as a reason to put the dance back into their games, or are they going to steer clear just to avoid any future headaches? I think they've made enough of a stink about this that this is still nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants this. Nobody wants to have Alfonso sue them or just yell at them and be a part of it. I think the Carlton dance is nuclear until he publicly is like, all right,
it's
whatever.
All good. Yeah,
you know,
I
the
agree.
Law's law, whatever. Enjoy it in Fortnite. And then I think it'd be back to whatever. But right now, I don't think anybody's going to go rush and put it back in there.
Yeah. Top story of the day.
Hey, man. Well, there's Apex news coming up. We do have breaking news. You want me to jump to that?
You're not even
prepped for this.
Yeah.
This is from Brian Crescente over at Variety. Bayonetta 2 director leaves Platinum Games after 13 years. Bayonetta 2's game director and Bayonetta producer, Yusuke Hashimoto, is leaving Platinum Games after 13 years, he announced in a tweet on Thursday. Oh, this is from yesterday. I totally just missed it.
This
tweet will be a little more personal than usual. Yesterday, January 31st, was my last day at Platinum Games, he said. The memories I made during my 13 years at Platinum, working with dozens of talented individuals on Bayonetta, Bayonetta 2, and Star Fox Zero are priceless to me. Let me take this opportunity to share my thanks with anyone who has worked with me, supported me, or played my games. Although Hashimoto didn't say what his next project will be, he said he hopes to take the experiences he gained at Platinum and use them on whatever works he goes to in the future. Platinum Games is currently quote-unquote hard at work on the Switch-exclusive Bayonetta 3, Nintendo said during its February 2019 Direct earlier this week. Studio first revealed the game's existence at the Game Awards 2017. It's not known at this time what role, if any, Hashimoto had in the development of the game or what his absence means for the project. You're a big Bayonetta fan. How does this strike you?
It's bad news for Nintendo, I think.
Yeah.
So on one hand, Astral Chain looks dope as hell.
Yeah.
You watched the entire Direct, but another Platinum game that they announced. What was interesting there is there's a release date in August attached to it. And they show that trailer, it looks super rad, and then they ended it being like, yo, we're still working on Bayonetta 3, don't worry, it's coming. That's not a good sign to me, especially with the Nintendo we've seen over the last couple years, where they announce something and it comes out pretty much within months. Like,
yeah.
The longest would be like, I can't even think of the example, but it's probably Smash Brothers, which is like only like 6 months, right?
Gotcha.
Or April to December, it's more than 6 months, but whatever it is. With Bayonetta and Metroid Prime, now being the two games that they announced longest ago.
Yeah, and you haven't heard anything.
And we haven't heard anything except bad news, really.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not a good sign. But I also think that, you know, based on a lot of the comments that the bigwigs at Nintendo have been making, both on the Japanese side and the American side, I think that they realize they made mistakes announcing the games too early and don't want that to be their business plan. So I think going forward, we're not going to hear about games unless they're imminent.
Okay. Does this worry you about the state of Bayonetta 3? Do you think it's way off the tracks? Or?
I feel like Bayonetta 3 is something that can't be off the tracks. Like, it's such a simple thing to nail because Platinum knows what they're doing for that type. Like, if anything, they're going to make a good Bayonetta game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not like there's some weird licensing that could get messed up, like the Ninja Turtles game or whatever. Like, this is their bread and butter. But Astral Chain looked super dope. So it's like, I just don't know what their strategy is here. I was talking to Cheeks yesterday on the show. Like,
Cheeks?
Maybe they're pushing it back to get out of Devil May Cry's way.
Interesting.
But like, that doesn't
sound like them, though.
Yeah, that's like a little too convenient sounding of a story.
Yeah, right?
Like that sounds like, oh, that makes sense. But it's like, that's not how things actually work, though. You know, like,
yeah.
And also Devil May Cry, not on Switch. It's like, it's the same audience, but it's a different audience.
I hear you.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, we'll see how I guess it nets out then. But I would think personally, Trouble Afoot. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying that's a bad sign over there. He's probably working on Bayonetta 3. This is not coming together. They're changing it. They're doing this. They're moving this.
Also don't know, like personally, I don't know who he is. I don't know how important he is to the franchise. If he also worked on Star Fox Zero, maybe it's not bad news he's getting now.
Jesus.
Number three on the Roper Report is, in fact, a double dip. This is Apex Legends. I have two bits of news for you. Tim, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Over on gamesindustry.biz, Brendan Sinclair talks about Tencent. Tencent is looking to increase its investment in the battle royale genre. The South China Morning Post today reported that the Chinese firm is in talks with Electronic Arts to bring Respawn Entertainment-developed Apex Legends to China. Tencent already handles Chinese distribution for a number of battle royale titles, most notably Fortnite, parentheses, from Epic Games, in which Tencent holds a minority stake, end parentheses, and Player Unknown's Battlegrounds.
Can you imagine having so much money in a country with so many people that you could just be like, hey, over there in America, there's some things making a lot of money.
Yeah.
We're just going to bring them here.
We got it. Yeah,
we're going to pay for that to then make insane amounts of money here.
Yeah.
They have Fortnite and PUBG and are trying to get Apex Legends. Good for them.
Go get them,
Tencent.
And it's interesting, you know, Tencent was we talk about them every so often. There was that undercurrent of news for a while about how they couldn't publish games for a while in China. And it was that thing of their profits start falling. And it was the concern that if they toppled, they'd bring a lot of American companies with them because they have minority stakes and things way outside Epic and majority too. That obviously got cleared up. They're doing that again. So I guess here we are back to it. Back to business as usual. Let's just keep
back
getting
to
games.
Biz, man. Apex Legends.
Now, speaking of Apex Legends and gamesindustry.biz, James Batchelor talks about this. There's a lot of people watching people play Apex Legends. The free-to-play Battle Royale title achieved the fourth highest single-day views in 5 years, thanks to the Twitch Rivals event arranged by developer Respawn and the streaming platform earlier this week. On February 12th, Apex Legends fans watched 8.4 million hours of matches, according to Twitch tracker Gamaloco. Gamaloco. The firm's study dates back to October 2014. Most notably, that's more than a million higher than Fortnite's most successful single-day viewing, which was 7.2 million hours in the game's Season 5 launch last July.
What the fuck?
Apex Legends Twitch Rivals lost out on a place in the three most viewed events, all of which were for Counter-Strike Go. Two of the top three took place during the 2015 ESL One Cologne contest, with 8.4 million hours viewed on August 12th and 8.6 million on August 22nd. Have you played more Apex Legends?
Oh, yeah. It's been popping in. It's so awesome.
Are you good yet?
No,
terrible.
I'll never beat it.
Okay.
Yeah? Never beat
You'll
it.
Never beat it.
No.
You're never going to play. You're never going to beat it. You're never going to fucking.
Have you been playing at all?
Oh, no. I've been on the road. Instead, I've been playing Tetris 99, Game of the Year.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I got some shit to say to you on this fucking Gamescast about Tetris 99.
Yeah. Have you won yet?
Is it the best battle royale?
I prefer not to talk about that, if you don't mind. All right, I prefer not to talk about
that. Does Tencent have its hands in it yet?
They must be looking into it. I'm sure they're looking into it. No, I'm excited to be back this weekend. Theoretically, on paper, I'm here an entire month, which is nice. Maybe I'll play a lot of stuff. But this weekend was this weird dead zone, right? Of like Anthem, PlayStation 4 next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to do it. I want to jump in. I want to see what it's all about. Everybody tells me how I'm going to love it. Great. So this weekend for a while, I was like, oh, shit, what am I going to play? And then Tetris dropped and changed the game. You know what I mean? Because it was, obviously, Crackdown's out. Man, never.
Crackdown's Far Cry. There's Metro.
Exactly, exactly. All these games that I'm like, nah, not really my thing. Mm-hmm. Tetris there. But then also Apex, which I really haven't been at home with, except for that one night. I guess, what, that'd be Monday night, right, before I left again for DICE or whatever. So I definitely want to try more. I definitely want to play more of that, too, and see what's up. Because, again, what it had that Titanfall feel to it. But again, I wish I could focus on that, but I'm trying to go pro in Tetris
now. I get it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
They don't have a shroud yet. You know, there isn't a shroud of Tetris 99, and it could be Greg Miller.
It could be.
It could be.
I believe in you, man.
Thank you very much.
Maybe there'll be 8.6 million people watching you one day playing Tetris.
That'd be nice. You know what I mean? Well, I stream it, though? Because I don't want to get stream sniped. You know what I mean? I don't want people in the Tetris 99 community to see me know that I'm in their game.
Know where you're dropping.
They see me over there. Yeah. They fucking start attacking me. I can't have that.
Yeah.
I'd like to work anonymously till at the end you see me in the top five consistently. Top five consistently.
Pull the mask off.
Yeah, exactly.
But a number one yet?
I'd prefer not to talk about that, all right? Barry, you don't understand, all right? You go home, you just play Persona over and over again. You have no fucking idea what it's like.
I'm playing Kingdom Hearts 3 right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
It's so bad. but I'm enjoying it.
Okay, okay. Tim, I can't wait to see what records Apex continues to break and how much fun I'll have this weekend with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still so far away. Yes. If I needed something more immediate, like, say, what came to the mom and grop shops, where do I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Crackdown 3 on Xbox One and PC. You've played?
I did not play. Andy played for Party Mode. Party Mode live now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You'll have to go there to see our opinions, but you won't have to go there to see everyone else's opinions. You can go to my Twitter and watch the video of a bet that me and Andrea made a while back.
Yeah, it was you and Andrea. Somebody tweeted me about this. I don't remember making a bet. It was you. It was what? It was Crackdown versus Metro or Crackdown versus Far Cry?
Can you bring up the video, actually, Barrett?
Okay, yeah,
I want to show.
We're putting Andrea on blast right here. Holy shit!
Yeah, we are.
Oh my God!
The world needs to know this. It's very. Very
I also
important.
Saw. Did you see on Twitter our subreddit, or did you see on our subreddit someone broke out a thing from an ancient morning show where we still talked about games of you like being like, oh, no, fucking next Mario Maker on Switch will have
it's
fucking
gonna have slopes, and here we go.
Here we go. Yeah.
Right, you want me to pull
I want you to pump up the ball, please.
Hold on.
Pump up the jam. Pump it up. If you're doing, you got the thing. Then they're jamming. Everybody, if you're not, if you're an audio listener, we are on Tim's Twitter. There's a breakout video here from the XO 18 event, which was a crossover between Kind of Funny and What's Good Games, and we're going to see what the bet was.
Andrea, this is a Kind of Funny Games daily bet right now. Yeah, Crackdown 3.
What do you mean? Not
get a single 9 out of 10 from any site that is listed in the Reset Era thread of reviews for the game.
What are we betting?
Whatever you want.
Oh, somebody. One month of Shandown Wine Club.
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. Wine, give us your wine.
If you lose, you pay for my next Shandown wine shipment. If I lose, what would you like?
Same thing for Gia.
You got it.
Oh.
Yeah, Gia. Oh. Hey, where's our pizza?
Britt asking the real questions.
The real questions. Dude,
have you talked to Andrea yet?
Congratulations to me. Oh, of course. There's been texts back and forth. And of course, she's like, fine, I'll accept this. But then there's like an hour later, she starts sending me links of like sites that gave it a 9. I'm like,
That wasn't the bet thread.
That one review that gave it a 9 from fucking like fanboy.com or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
On Metacritic. Yeah. Great. Wow. Congratulations. It doesn't help you here, Andrea. Although I did see a best friend being like, I'm going to submit this to the Reset Era thread so that it gets in there. And I'm like, well, that's cheating. That's totally. Yeah.
I think the video speaks for itself.
Proof. Video, you know, proof.
Exactly. Wow.
Undoctored.
Wow. Yeah. I'm blown away. I can't believe you. I can believe it totally, but I can't believe it. I can't. Wow. Back to the games. I'm sorry. Dragons, Dawn of New Riders comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. Someone tweet me if it's an easy platinum. Far Cry, New Dawn comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. Jump Force comes to Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Metro Exodus comes to Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. An unexpected DLC comes for Dungeons 3 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One today. RE2, that's right, Resident Evil 2 Ghost Survivors DLC drops today.
What the fuck?
Yep. Anthem is out on the PC with the EA Origin thing, and then if you're on Xbox One and you got the EA Access, it's out there today too as well. Which leads to a question from Ellen. Ellen writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey guys, happy Friday. With Anthem Early Access starting today, I have a question for you. Can you explain to me how allowing one small subset of gaming community early access to a game is profitable to a publisher? As a console player, I'm super bummed I can't jump into Anthem today. Even if I paid for EA Access, I'd only get 10 hours. Oh, I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me. Which is basically nothing. And still have to wait a whole week to get the full game. I can't imagine any developer would actively want this for their community and can't understand why a publisher would. Just wanted the opinion from people that know more about the industry than I do. Thanks." Well, Alan, you're talking about two different things there, correct? I do not think the developers want that. No. They want the game on as many platforms as quick as possible, all these different people to have some fun. They don't need it. They don't want it. Whatever. Publishers want it, of course, because they want to make money. Publishers are out there because they want to make money without having to share the pie with Steam, Epic, PlayStation Network, Xbox One, right? Mm-hmm. EA is doing this because they want you to use EA Origin. They want to be your PC game. They want to sell it directly to you, not if it's split the profits with anybody. EA Access, right, through Xbox One. I didn't realize it was 10 hours. That's a great thing, Alan. I saw just the headline today on the Major Nelson blog that it was there. And I was like, damn, I want to play. But the same idea there. They want you to subscribe to their service, which is, you know, basically like their Game Pass, and then be locked in and then forget about it and keep using it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's getting people locked in, but it's also having them pop in and realize like how good the service is. You know, it's like you get that taste. You're like, oh, I might as well stay.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's not
totally.
Like the trickery of locking them in. It's actually like, hey, you know, you get the demo and then you're going to want to buy
it's
the
thing. Same thing. It's the same reason in that sense of it that everybody else does, why Netflix has exclusive shows or whatever. They want you to sign up and be like, oh, that was great, and there's so much other shit, I'm gonna hang out.
Exactly. And also Ellen writing in saying that even if I paid for EX, I only get 10 hours, which is basically nothing to a lot of people. 10 hours is a lot.
Yeah.
For a game that's coming out next week for everyone else. So I can see this being worth it to some people, not worth it to others. It's a weird release schedule and it's very convoluted, and they had to have that whole graphic spreadsheet chart thing come out, but it makes a lot of business sense. And, you know, I've been reading a lot of articles talking about how this is like splintering the fan base and it's not good for the launch of the game or whatever. I really think that's very hyperbolic. I think that this is totally fine and not going to affect any type of long-term effects.
This is what I like to... This is just annoying in the way that, man, I'd really like to play this weekend, you know, alongside Andy or Fran on PC or whatever, but I'll wait and whatever. It's not the end of the world. It'll be fine. In 2 weeks, nobody will even remember, and it won't even matter. It'll just be how this was. And
exactly.
How many games... every game does this, I feel like, nowadays, where there's a million different ways to get
every
in.
EA game, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it sucks, but it's an easy way to get you to use their service, to spend more money, to give it directly to them and not have to worry about their partners. New dates for you. Unexplored Unlocked Edition is coming to PlayStation 4 February 19th, and then the SNK 40th Anniversary Collection comes out March 19th. Deals of the day from you. This comes from a little boy named Barrett, who tweeted out about Uncharted The Lost Legacy is only $14 on the US PlayStation Plus right now. It's part of it because there's a big critic sale on the PSN. Somebody else added in here, Guacamelee 2 is only $12 on the US PlayStation Plus. Is that you too?
Yeah, that's me. All too. Right, cool. Guacamelee 2, one of the best games from last year.
Now, Portillo and Shirtless Arachnid Man unlockable in it as well.
So now it's one of the greatest games this year as well.
Sure, of course. Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, it happened last year too, but yeah, that is. Of course, full disclosure, my wife did brand management for Guacamelee 2, so take it with a grain of salt from me.
Full disclosure, I really liked Uncharted Lost Legacy, so take that with a grain of
salt. Yeah!
I mean,
I have shit taste.
Full disclosure, Nolan North hung out here, and he's not in that, so there you go.
Fair.
Fortnite, I got some deals of the day for you. It was just kind of weird. Double XP weekend is this weekend, and the weekend of the 22nd. All players playing during those weekends get double the XP. And then also, you can earn a free battle pass right now. Everyone who completes 13 free overtime challenges by February 27th will receive the upcoming Season 8 battle pass for free. You can save your V-Bucks. This one's on us. Andy, we need you! Number one Nitro Rifle.
That's super cool.
Yeah, I hear it's fucking impossible. Is Andy's mic up over there? Barrett? Big Bear? All right, cool.
So
I just read about the Fortnite stuff. Double XP this weekend, but then you can earn this free battle pass by doing the 13 overtime challenges.
Yeah.
How are they?
A few of them are especially difficult, mostly because everybody knows that these challenges are there, and everybody wants this free damn battle pass. Gotcha. So one of the more challenging challenges, I guess that's why they call it that, Greg. I guess that's what they call it that. You have to get ammo boxes in an RV park. You just have to open 10 ammo boxes. Okay. I've dropped there 6 times. I've opened maybe 2.
Because everyone's doing it.
Everybody lands. You have a gun. I was like halfway into opening one. Bam, shot in the head, dead.
Gotcha.
So it's a little bit frustrating right now. I'm sure it'll cool off in the next couple
days. I was
going to
say, that's usually the way, right? When the pass or the challenge drops, it's hot for a while. But you give it a couple days. Hopefully the hardest of hardcore.
Now, initially they unlock, not all the challenges that you can do are even unlocked yet. They are unlocking by the day, I believe.
Oh, okay.
So right now, I believe there's 7.
So this is like 14 days of Fortnite.
I guess. I don't remember that.
You're
I don't
a
remember
piece
that.
Of garbage.
I don't remember that.
Just say
but
yes.
Essentially, like some of the easier ones are like get damage with a pistol or an assault rifle. And so that's fairly easy, right?
Sure, yeah.
Especially when you're like me.
Oh, man, nitro rifle.
Yeah,
you know
dude.
I mean?
But then the other ones will slowly open up as the days progress, and it'll, like, you'll have a new challenge that's like, I don't know, grab this and that at the whatever place. Or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah, yeah. I love grabbing this and that at the whatever place.
But all my challenges are done. I just need these fuckers, because I would love that free battle pass, let me tell you.
Sure, yeah.
Would love
yeah,
it. Yeah. Especially, like, it's weird, because this thing popped up, right? And it's like, you know what? I'll not play Apex for a while, and I'll play this. And it's like still fun because I like Fortnite and I enjoy the way it plays. You know?
I saw this in the double XP and I was like, "Fuck, maybe you know." In between trying to go pro in Tetris this weekend, I'll pop over and do that.
Hey, you hit me up, doggy.
Oh
let's
yeah,
go, dog.
Mm-hmm. Doggy dog. I don't know. That's
where are we blocking, boys?
Barrett, be quiet. All right, you haven't earned that yet. You haven't earned that. Okay. You have to work with me one full week and then you're allowed to.
Greg, I feel like we've done it at one point, right?
No, we haven't. No. We've not been in the office together for a full week.
Yeah, you've been gone the entire
Bear's career?
Of his career. He gets, I think, more shit than Kevin gets in a year.
Yeah.
Just condensed. Like, I feel like we've already given him that much shit.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, Barrett, we're doing it in like, ha-ha, we love you way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that is, you know what I mean? There is that difference.
Kevin, we're doing like, ha-ha, well, man, do you need a recommendation somewhere?
Jesus.
We're fucking ready to help.
You want inside gaming, maybe?
Twitch is hiring a whole bunch of people. I'm sure they could use you. Fucking empty the trash. Time for reader mail! But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Hims. 66% of men lose their hair by the age 35. And the thing is, once you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than replace the hair you've lost. That's why you should be like Nick Scarpino and Andy Cortez and go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. These are well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. Save hours by going to 4hims.com. Andy and Nick did it. They went online, talked to a doctor, sent in some photos, and they got matched with the prescriptions to help their thinning hair. You can order now. My listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. Now, where do I want to take you, Timmy Tam? Why are you shaking your head? What's going on over there?
While you were in the ad, I was just looking at Twitter for breaking news.
Oh, sure.
And this is not video games related.
Sure.
But War for Cybertron, Netflix sets Transformers Universe cartoon series for 2020, produced by Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, big news today.
Hold it for screencasting.
Yeah, why are you bringing this garbage in here? Nobody cares about Rooster Teeth.
Runner shows have already been made.
Or Transformers here, you know? Nobody cares. You should have thought about that beforehand, you know what I mean?
Huh.
Dan Lima writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hello, Greg and Tim. Greg, as usual, you did a great job hosting the Dice Awards and made the Kind of Funny Best Friends very proud. Keep it up, heart. Woo! I will. Thank you all for watching and being proud. Now to my question. I am honestly surprised about the lack of buzz/hype surrounding the news that Xbox is bringing Xbox Live to Nintendo Switch. People are talking about it, but to me, this is the biggest and potentially most influential gaming news of the year, or even the decade. While it may not mean too much right now, the doors for cross-collaboration amongst the two of the big three are opening in a way that has never happened before. If someone mentioned the possibility of playing Halo on the Switch a year ago, they would get laughed at. But now, we're moving on in that direction, and the idea of that doesn't sound as crazy as it once was. What do you guys think the news means for the future of gaming? Are we about to enter a revolution? Are the barriers across consoles and first party about to be broken down? Dan, I've been saying forever, that this Xbox Scarlet business was going to come to the Switch. And nobody laughed me out of the room. They said, brilliant, Greg. And they did the Citizen Kane applause.
Yes.
The thing is that, you're right, Dan, this is super exciting and interesting and awesome, but the problem is it's the first step. It's the baby step to getting to where, yes, the next Halo drops, and you're using your Xbox Scarlet app on your Nintendo Switch to play it. Mm-hmm. You're streaming it from the cloud. Right now, this is like, oh, cool, what does that mean? Oh, games are allowed to use Xbox Live infrastructure in the back end. And you're like, oh, okay, well,
yeah,
that's not sexy.
Yeah, I mean,
don't get me wrong. There is me being devil's advocate, mainstream person. But yeah. Industry-wise, that's super awesome. I can't wait to see what they do with this.
I'm absolutely with you on the future.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a step towards it.
You don't think so?
I think this is completely unrelated.
Huh.
I think this is just, they're like, oh, we can do that? Sure. Why not?
I think the fact that Nintendo's allowing it, though. You know what I mean? Like, Nintendo's allowing that to happen.
Yeah, but, like, Nintendo and Microsoft have been fine. There's Minecraft. Sure. It's like, I don't know. This, to me, those things don't feel related at all.
I don't agree. I think it's just another brick in the cobblestone road of infrastructure here and relationship building, as I'm sure I still believe in what I'm talking about with Scarlett. I'm sure that conversation's happening backstage in terms of, hey, we're working on this, you know, Project X Cloud. We think it's going to be awesome. We'd love to talk to you about an app. Okay, cool. And along the way, they start work. They get access to Nintendo's online infrastructure. How does that look? How could we work? And this is one of those things of, cool, we're doing this. We're launching this test because this is ready to go.
I mean, I think it's just an app. I think it's just like Netflix. It's just like, or not like Hulu. And, you know, Cool Greg spends 90% of his day watching Hulu on Switch.
Sure.
You know, well, now he can check his achievements on Switch.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's because isn't the deal that it's using the back end in of it? Like, this is one of the ones that broke while I was away, so I read.
As far as I understand, it's just like the PSN app on your phone, where it's like you can check in on your shit, and that's pretty much it.
Hold on. Kicking this up. So we're going to read from Eurogamer on February 4th. And it is taking a while to load. Because they need it right now. You know what I mean? Because it would be obviously too easy.
On a two-news story day, it's like, we need to draw out as long as possible anyway. So here we are.
All right, so we're reading Tom Phillips. Microsoft plans Xbox Live for Nintendo Switch Mobile. Microsoft is readying a new level of Xbox Live support for Nintendo Switch and iOS and Android devices. The Windows maker teased the reveal due next month at GDC 2019 via the industry's own conference schedule. The move will see Microsoft integrate Xbox Live achievements, friends, clubs, and game history into non-Xbox and Windows PC platforms for the first time. Xbox Live is about to get much bigger, Microsoft's description reads. Xbox Live is expanding from 400 million gaming devices and a reach of over 68 million active players over 2 billion devices with the release of our new cross-platform SDK. Get a first look at the SDK to enable game developers to connect players between iOS, Android, and Switch, in addition to Xbox and any game in the Microsoft Store on Windows PC. You can already sign into your Xbox Live profile on Nintendo Switch and mobile devices with certain Microsoft games, the cross-platform Minecraft being the most obvious example. This deeper integration goes way beyond that, though, to tie non-Microsoft games on non-Microsoft platforms into Xbox Live as well. So, for example, if you're playing Warframe on Nintendo Switch, you could earn Xbox achievements. Or if you're playing Fortnite on mobile, you could browse your Xbox Live friends list to see find people to play with. Parentheses. Sony's refusal to allow Xbox Live sign-ins within Minecraft, and therefore support for the game's cross-platform version, means it's unsurprising there's no sign of PlayStation here. End parentheses. It's a hugely ambitious play from Microsoft, and it all remains to be seen how it will work. Perhaps the mobile version will work with the Xbox Live app, updated to function like a game center on iOS and track blah 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 blah. That's just them hyperbole. GDC March 18th to 20th.
Yeah, GDC. I'm interested to see what they have to say because the War Group part of that is cool. Yeah. The rest of it though, it's like it's just an app, just like we've had for years for PlayStation on iOS. Granted, it's not on Switch, but who cares? The achievement stuff's cool, but like,
but that's like such. That's not the part of it that matters.
What's the part that matters?
The ability to play games using Xbox Live for them to build it on the backbone here. To tie non-Microsoft games on non-Microsoft platforms to Xbox Live as well. So if you're playing Warframe on Nintendo Switch, you can earn Xbox achievements.
It's just the achievements and progression and stuff, which is great. That's awesome. But like, that's the one interesting part of this. And is that already happening with Wargroove?
You keep saying, because Wargroove's crossplay.
That's the one example they use,
Warframe,
right?
Is what they used.
Oh, Warframe.
I said Warframe. Yes.
Okay. That is cooler than I thought it was, but I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that being real. for games that aren't Warframe.
But I mean, that's the point. Like, that's what's exciting about this. The exciting thing is you and me are working on a game. We need to make an online system work or whatever, right? We don't have fucking heads or tails on how to do that. We can use Xbox Live and all of the systems and things they've used forever with their XDK and put it into our game, and then also get that onto Switch and not have to worry about, hey, on how do we fucking make our independent game also work on Switch online? Because that's a backbreaker for so many people.
Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it. GDC needs to come and prove me that this is actually something worth caring about. Because right now, I'm like, this just seems like an app.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's background stuff. And maybe I'm reading it all wrong, but it's background stuff. It's skeleton that they're going to be able to build on.
We'll see.
Okay, we will see. We will see, everybody. So, yeah, I think, first off, back to Dan's question then, right? It's not super sexy, and I think it's not... on paper, it doesn't, to a normal person, a layman, does it speak of, oh my God, this means that. We're going to get this off of that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Ethan Hunt, who I think is a Mission Impossible character,
yes,
writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hello, gentlemen. Firstly, I want to congratulate Greg and Jess on the brilliant dice hosting this year. Loved watching it. Got to shout out my beloved game Below. Should have definitely got a nomination for art direction and Jim Guthrie's sound design. Well, it didn't, Ethan. Fuck off. My question to you, Tim, relates to Pikmin World on the... Pikmin. Period. Word on the street is that more Wii U ports are on the horizon, and I was hoping we would see that sweet, sweet Pikmin 3 Nectar getting announced in the Direct. Do we think that it is going to become a reality, or do Nintendo have their sights set on a number 4? I'm thinking we could get a Pikmin 3 announcement at E3 for later in the year, or maybe even a Pikmin 4 announcement as a spring 2020 game, filling the same spot Yoshi is in this time around.
Pikmin is a franchise that's in a very weird spot with the success of the Switch. Pikmin 4 was announced many years ago, but not in like a real way, not in like an official, here's a trailer, here's the logo or whatever. Yeah. Just in a, Miyamoto made a comment in an interview saying, oh yeah, they're like, Pikmin 4 is happening. You know, so it's like one of those unofficial, official things. And we haven't heard shit about it for years at this point. Like, I think it was like 2014 maybe that they talked about that. Like, it was like hot off the heels of Pikmin 3. Pikmin 3 is one of the Wii U titles that I don't expect is going to get ported. It was so early in the console's life cycle, and I feel like I'd put that more in the category of Mario Maker or Splatoon, where they're like, we're just going to get the sequel out on the Switch.
I feel like it's an interesting one with Pikmin, right? And I'm speaking from definitely the outside of the Nintendo community here, right? Because Pikmin was never a thing for me, ever. And then, like, well, I remember when Wii U, they were pushing it. I played it at, like, E3s and stuff. And I was maybe even a Let's Play at IGN. I was like, whatever. I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, does that move the needle enough that that's a franchise they want to go back to? And
definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Pikmin is one of those, it's bigger than F-Zero.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, sure. It's definitely a hardcore Nintendo property that's fantastic, and I feel like Pikmin is kind of in that Fire Emblem spot where all it's going to take is a Fire Emblem Awakening for it to be one of the biggest Nintendo franchises.
Yeah,
and I think a Pikmin on Switch, where I feel like it's the quality of the game isn't the problem; it's the amount of people that even give it a shot.
Okay,
and I think the Switch. Well,
I wasn't saying the quality is bad, obviously.
Yeah, I know, but I think that a lot of people just write it off as like, oh, it's just a whatever D tier Nintendo game, and it's not. Yeah. And I think that the Switch could help get that in front of enough people, and I don't think they'd want to make that step with Pikmin 3.
Okay. It would be okay. Yeah, Pikmin. Yeah, yeah. They want to come out and actually show it off and be like, this is what it is. Interesting.
Barrett brought this up. At E3 2017, Miyamoto reconfirmed that the next installment in the series is still currently under development, stating that it is progressing. So, yeah. Okay.
Blackjack writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Tim. Greg, you did a fantastic job of the Dice Awards, as always. Thank you. Yesterday, Crackdown 3 review scores went live, and as Tim predicted, they were pretty bad. Why did Microsoft continue to fund the development of this game, but not continue to fund Scalebound? I feel the consensus from the start was that Crackdown 3 would be a middle-of-the-road game at best. Both games were announced at E3 2014, but Scalebound was canceled since the beginning of 2017. God of War had a long development cycle, and the studio almost shut it down, but Sony continued to believe in their vision. Now, God of War has won many awards, more awards than any other first-party PlayStation game. Does this show a lack of vision from Microsoft Game Studios? Is Microsoft even interested in making games of that caliber? Has Game Pass allowed them to accept any exclusive so long as it can be shoveled in onto their monthly paid service? Keep up the good work, Bajek. I think Crackdown is just an example. Jeff Gerstmann put this out really well yesterday in a tweet, and he put up his review, and he's like, this is not a good game. And one of the tweets he put up for context is just like, I find it hard to believe. Let me open up, because it was like, I find it hard to believe. I'm reading from Jeff's Twitter. I'm having trouble envisioning why Crackdown 3 was finished and released. My best uneducated guess is that once they started talking about using Microsoft's cloud infrastructure, they couldn't kill it, because that would be seen as a knock against the cloud product. I think he's on the right track there, in the way that when Xbox One launched, and this was Crackdown 3 was one of the games, they were like, it's going to take use of the cloud, everything's going to be, all the fucking explosions are going to be from the cloud, it's going to be amazing, it's going to be great. Different Xbox, different time period, obviously, different management structure, but it was put out as like, hey, here is one of our Uncharted's, here is one of our major first-party exclusive IPs. They want Crackdown to be a Halo. They want it to be a Gears of War. They want it to be that kind of Xbox exclusive mindshare. And I feel that once they got it out there and said that, that's part of it, what Jeff's saying. But then also, it's Crackdown 3. There's already expectations. There's already a fan base. People do want to play that. They've heard that. I don't think they could ever kill it and walk away from it because they let it cook too long. Mm-hmm. And they did talk about restarting. They did talk about delays. And they did put dates on it for many, many times and delay them many, many times. Scalebound was an unknown quantity. Here's a brand new game, a brand new IP. Look at it. It looks cool, right? Oh, it doesn't run well. We can get out. I don't think they were just in too deep with Crackdown 3.
Yeah.
And I think you've gone that long. It was already a punchline in terms of them booting it and delaying it. But like, to take that away, one of the few Xbox One exclusives there have been, in terms of like, oh, this is something people care about, that we're not trying to build, like Sea of Thieves, we're trying to build from the ground up and doing well at that. But like Crackdown 3, people were excited for and wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it being a sequel definitely helps. I also think that there's a big difference between it being a Japanese studio versus American studio. I think that has a lot to do with it. But I think Blackjack's onto something here with has Game Pass allowed them to accept any exclusives so long as it can be shoveled into a monthly paid service. I think that is an exaggeration of something that I do think at its core is true, where with Amy Hennig's speech a couple days ago talking about the future of games and like where she thinks it's going to be a lot more similar to Netflix than it currently is in the coming years. I do think that with Game Pass, it's like, they're like, all right, not every game needs to be a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like people are, the Xbox released all those stats about Game Pass and they're fascinating of people that own Game Pass are playing X amount more than other users, are playing X amount more different games than other users, and like all these like really interesting stats. I'm sure they're looking at that, and in the same way that we will boot up Netflix and spend, out of our 2-hour watching period, spend 30 minutes of it just blading through things.
Totally.
Right? I feel like, and giving random things a shot just because we're like.
And that's why Crackdown works on such an interesting level here, right? Of, all right, cool. Yeah, it is a 6 out of 10, a 7 out of 10, whatever. You know what I mean? Depending on who you look at. More importantly, though, it is part of Xbox Game Pass. You're already paying it, probably, maybe. If you're just interested in trying it, sure, it's $9 right this month. Maybe there's even a sale. You could get in cheaper. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you get in there and you try it, but it's just what we talked about earlier with EA Origin, right? Or Access, even. It's you get in, you try it, and you're like, well, Crackdown sucked, but I've heard about Sea of Thieves, and here I am. I might as well do it. Or I'm holding on to it for Sea of Thieves. I'm going to go through and do this thing. Yeah.
Yeah, this thing Blackjack's talking about, I wonder if we could imagine a world where Game Pass existed when the Scalebound situation was going on. Would that game still exist?
Yeah.
You know, would they have just finished it just to
have something
and to have something and going, and just know that, like, well, at least we'll make our money back on it from Game Pass, not from sales necessarily.
Sure.
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I think Game Pass does change it. I don't think it's insidious at all, but I think it is. There is an argument now of like, well, at least we're taking care of these people and we're putting it out there, and yeah, there is a way to make some money off of this. Final question of the day comes from Malcontent Ronin. I haven't seen you in a long time, Malcontent Ronin. Thanks for coming back. Or coming by, I guess. With the ever-dwindling relevance of E3, I wonder two things. First, whether the ESA has become like Comic-Con and has simply become too predatory or otherwise not worth dealing with. Perhaps no one wants to deal with the policies or ever-rising fees. Second, whether we will ever see a video games Comic-Con, a single fan-focused show that brings together all the major players for announcements, demos, and panels. There are numerous industry events. We still cannot get one big fan event. I realize Gamescom and PAX exist, but the latter is fragmented and both are unappealing in their own ways.
That's really funny. I loved your joke at the DICE Awards about
The E3 one. Yeah. That was really good. That was a good one.
I just don't think we'll never see that. First off,
yeah.
I feel like fan events and industry events are two separate things. There's a reason we don't see major announcements made on a massive scale at PAX. Right. Those are community shows. It's about hanging out and having fun, and like that's a great demo opportunity for things. Things get lost in the shuffle because there's not these big keynotes, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like E3 is built off of the idea of the keynote presentations, and then also there's the actual E3 side of it where people get to get their hands on the games. I think it's very telling that media groups like us stay in San Francisco during the conferences before going down to LA to play the games. It's almost as if the keynotes and the
show set
the
itself.
Shows are two different.
And yeah, 100%. And that's the interesting argument here, is everybody tries to wrap their head around, like, you know, Sean Layden. This is, I think, born from the Sean Layden interviews at DICE, where he is talking and pushing for E3 to become more like a Comic-Con, even though I doubt that's really what they want. You know, everybody wants to own their own moments.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. That's why PlayStation Experience exists. That's why XO18 came back. Mm-hmm. That's why when it is, hey, we have a new console to launch, right? First debut is its own thing, yep, on a random Thursday.
Yeah.
Because they want to own the news cycle on their own. And so.
And they can.
Exactly.
Video games are there.
And
they
so
work.
As you see the big three continue to peel off of E3 in different ways and do different stuff, and even publishers like EA, that's just what it's going to become. And I think you're still going to see like this right now where there's like the unified window of time, mm-hmm, where EA is like, we're not doing E3, but we're doing it the Saturday and Sunday before E3.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're still part of it. And like having a conference, even if it's not there, however you want to, you know,
I mean,
Nintendo
is,
and Direct.
You know, I don't think it's that interesting of a take for us to sit here and be like, oh yeah, everyone wants to own their own moment and be there. Yeah, that's happening, right?
Yeah.
Like we've seen that happen and that's a great thing. However, all of them are always going to be tangentially related to E3. Whether or not they're there, their presence will be felt in some way. And that's important because E3, I don't think will ever go away completely, and it will always be a important moment for gamers. Every year people look forward to it, and I feel that even though PlayStation wants to have its own marketing moment in March or wherever the hell they are, right, they're going to want to be associated with the hype and the marketing that comes from from E3. And
yeah,
especially when you look at the like smaller publishers, they're definitely going to be like, we got to be part of the
100% what you're saying, right, is like, yeah, okay, so PlayStation's like, we're not doing E3, and I already talked about it on this show, right, of like, cool, that gives them the chance, like how they tried to make the Days Gone thing this week an event, right, of like, here's a wedding invitation, mm-hmm, to see, and then we're dropping the trailer, right? They will continue to do that, like you're saying. I don't know if it's going to be monthly, but if they're doing it in January, right, you figure, and just for that game, this is the thing. Now it's malleable. Do whenever. You know, is it going to be February? We're already in February. Is it going to be March? Is it going to be April? Is it going to be whatever? They're going to do something around E3, whether it is that they just are, you know, when I go to Judges Week, since they're not going to be at E3, they won't be part of Judges Week, but will they have an offsite event we go do?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Of like, here's
Absolutely.
All our games and shit.
Yeah.
And like, that's how it's going to continue to be. They're going to continue to do their own things, and I think time them around what's really happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then make it a thing. But yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see.
I mean, dude, like, again, this isn't that crazy of a thing to say, but like, just look at Nintendo Directs.
Yeah.
Like, look at Nintendo Directs.
How much time is between a direct usually?
So this was the longest time it's ever been, and I forgot the day count, but it was like 150 days or something.
I feel like that's what, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how PlayStation handles any of this stuff if they're not doing E3, and like how quiet they really want to be. And is it just blog announcements? I saw today in the blog, like they have a thing of Pardon Our Dust, like they're about to revamp the blog and do stuff. It's like,
I mean, so here's like with Nintendo Direct specifically, this was the longest it's been without one, and they made a bunch of weird decisions. Like they announced the Yoshi's release date just on a tweet in January.
Yeah.
But most people didn't even know that happened until it was announced in the Direct. Like if you look at the comments, like so many people are like, oh, Yoshi's coming in March. It's like, yeah, we've known that already. But because people are just trained to look at the Direct to get the news.
Yeah.
Right. But the coolest thing about the Direct are it's not just the Direct that happens in Nintendo owning that moment. They own the conversation of the when's it going to happen. You know, when there's rumors and feelings that Direct's coming, that's recent era gets taken over with conspiracy
theory. Oh, sure, really, yeah, right? What's going to happen?
Here. I'm sure Microsoft wants that. I'm sure that everybody wants that.
Everybody. That's what we're talking about owning a moment. Yeah. Is saying we're doing this thing on this day and then being like, fuck, what is that going
to
be?
But again, it's not just that moment. It's the moments leading into that moment, right? It's that conversation of talking. You want people talking and excited about what could happen, right?
Yeah.
Or else Crackdown 3 just is there. It's
just
blog post a million times and then the game comes out.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, nobody cares. And then, Malcontent had, this is a good question, good debate and conversation, obviously, but will there ever be a video games Comic-Con, like a single fan focus that brings everybody, blah, blah, blah. No, like what you're getting, the closest thing right now, what you're talking about is Jeff Keighley's, Microsoft, theater stuff during, E3, where it is that that's where there are a bunch of panels and I hosted The Division and then it was
that
somebody.
Fan stuff. Yeah, that's actually really
because it's like, the problem with saying.
The Coliseum?
Yeah, you think E3 Coliseum. That's right. The problem with saying, hey, yeah, like, all right, cool, we're starting a show and we're going to do it and it's going to be this thing with it. It doesn't work because Sony doesn't want to fly all their developers somewhere to be this. And then granted, you could be like, well, you just need three panels for every, you know, big first party, right? And you could do it that way and have it be like, Comic-Con. But still, like, it takes years to drum up that way. And it's as E3's seemingly losing some of that, it gets hard and wishy-washy. And it's that the thing, you know. E3 works because everybody's already there for work. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to get them to go do things. The reason you don't see everybody at PAX, right? Any PAX is because it's just nobody's around there. And why would I go there if I'm trying to finish my game? I'm trying to do this. It becomes part of the marketing beat of I'm going to go there and do an Assassin's Creed panel or whatever, but like not for everybody. It's a weird time to be a gamer, but it's awesome because now we don't know what's going to happen.
Video games are cool.
Video games are cool. Kindoffunny.com/store. Time to squad up. This is where you go over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You're a bronze member. You get to submit your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has fun today. Nathan needs help on Xbox. His Xbox username is Groat, G-R-O-A-T, Simulator. That's Groat Simulator, two words. Hello, Greg and Tim. 1 year ago today, I submitted a squad up, not asking for help, but offering to help people playing games on Xbox One. I've met a lot of great people to play with. One, in fact, even joined us on a group meetup in Nashville last year. Well, I'm back to help out again. A bunch of mid to late 20-something guys and gals are playing a variety of games, including Apex Legends and Fortnite. We are also going to dive into Anthem and The Division 2 when those games drop in the next few weeks. Hit me up on my Xbox. My gamer tag is Groat Simulator. That's Goat with an R. And I look forward to playing with some new Kind of Funny best friends. You. One more thing. We are in the United States, primarily East Coast. Sorry, UK lads. Thank you for apologizing.
Groat Simulator.
Well, Tim?
I wonder what the story is there.
It sounds like Goat. And then Groat seems something like your junk, but I'm not sure if that's what Groat is.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like if we got Nick in here, he could tell me what a Groat is, but I also don't want him to tell me on live TV what a Groat is. Tim, we asked people watching us live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. So we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Barrett Googled Groat. Groat is any of various medieval European coins. All right. What are we getting wrong today? Lucar Wolf says it's worth mentioning that Hashimoto's name has not been attached to Bayonetta 3, at least not publicly. As far as we know, he was not involved in the game. Perfect. Good. I don't want to bring that one up because I don't know about that one. Yeah, Nanobiologist says, this is back to the Xbox SDK stuff. From my interpretation of the Xbox applications, it is a developer tool to add Xbox infrastructure, functionality, Xbox achievement, and friends list to games.
That would be absolutely fantastic. I hope that I'm wrong.
I think you are, but I don't know for sure.
I mean, but here's the thing. Like, we'll wait for GDC. Sure. I know they're saying this, but until we see it, I don't believe it.
You're a hater-ass hater. Got it. Zaire says Flower is out on Steam today.
One of the best games of all time.
Great game. Yeah.
All right.
I love it, man.
Here we go. I am not Legend says, didn't hear this mentioned. Game Pass on Xbox is available for $2 for 2 months right now for new users. If you subscribe before, you can still pick up 1 month for $2. So there you go. Right. Perfect. And then that's it.
There
Ladies
we go,
and gentlemen.
Baby.
This has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every week, day on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video games. You know, motherfuckers, it's the weekend. Yeah. Play some games. Woo. Tetris 99. I'll see you soon. Let's go through next week's hosts. I'm here the entire week.
Wow.
Lord be praised.
The first week of 2019
that I'm not doing a gig for us.
Wow.
So Monday I'll be with Adam Bankhurst from IGN.com.
Okay.
Tuesday, Andrea Renee returns to the show.
Yes, she does.
Wednesday, Gary Whitta rises from the dead.
Yeah.
Thursday. Andrea again, not as exciting. And then Friday, Tim makes his debut for that week. One week from today. What will happen? Are you going to get a haircut before then?
Yes.
Don't do it.
I'm in a weird haircut place right now.
Why is that?
Just, you know, I have, you know, you always have to plan around the time you need to look good.
Yeah.
The time I need to look good, way further out than I want it to be for how long my beard and hair is right now. But I'm like, I just got to ride lightning.
Yeah.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.